The first reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 19 to 26. I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 to 30.
Glory to you.
And behold, one came up to him, saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? One there is who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, Which? And Jesus said, You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these I have observed. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, Truly I say to you, it will be hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Then Peter said in reply, Lo, we have left everything and followed you. What then shall we have? Jesus said to them, Truly, I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man shall sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many that are first will be last, and the last first. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and we pray that you'll speak to us through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. While we continue today on this theme of building back better. And then the subtitle, which is the main title for today, is Narcissism. I thought it was a flower. But I looked it up in my Wikipedia, and it says it's from Greek mythology, and it's about a young man called Narcissus in Greek mythology who fell in love with his own image reflected in a pool of water. And he became pathologically self-absorbed by himself, excessive in selfishness, and he turned in on himself. And of course, this is the cost, or this is the sort of battle, rather, that many of us have been fighting within ourselves since the pandemic began. We've been self-absorbed, turned in on ourselves, and many of us have been lonely and depressed. Well, most of us, I think, have been lonely and depressed at some time. And it's not been easy, and of course, and still isn't. And this is the problem, of course, we all face. Now, depending on our personalities, it does become a real battle, a real problem. It can be very destructive, as we all know. And I have to admit, this is a battle that I face, because I'm a half-empty man rather than a half-full man when it comes to the glass of water, so to speak. And of course, within these pandemics, within this situation we're in, we all cope differently. Some of us, of course, don't cope at all. Now, I don't think St. Paul had a big problem. I don't think he had... Well, he had a big problem, rather, with narcissism. And he was one of these guys whose personality made him into the leader that he was. And we can learn a lot by looking at Paul and at maybe one or two other people, especially Mark, as we go through this sermon this morning. Paul didn't cope with sensitive people very well. He was, especially at the beginning of his ministry, of his Christian ministry. You remember when Paul was first emerged, he was minding the coats of those who stoned Stephen to death, the first Christian martyr. And they preached at Stephen to the Sanhedrin, and they dragged him outside, and they'd stoned him to death. Paul, or Saul as he was then, he minded the coats. And then he went to the high priests and he said, I'll go and sort all this out, leave it to me. And he arrested, of course, in Jerusalem as many of the Christians as he could. He put them in prison. Some, I'm sure, they were put to death. And then he said to the high priest, will you give me some bills of authority, and I'll go to Damascus and I'll do the same there. I'll round up the Christians and I'll throw them into prison and I'll get rid of many of them as we can right at the start. And of course, off he went to Damascus, and we know that halfway there, he was struck by some form of, it was a visitation from Christ himself in many respects. And he heard the voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And this voice said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And his life turned around then. And this hard man, this man who didn't do sensitive at this particular time, his life began to change. And God changed him over the next number of years up to when he was martyred for his faith. And God changed him by his Holy Spirit. And in the book of Galatians that he wrote to the church there, he names the fruit of the Spirit. He says that they're love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And then a little later on he wrote to the church at Ephesus, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And you can sense in his letters that he was writing over the next years that this man, this hard man, was beginning to change. This insensitive man who didn't do weakness was beginning to really to understand, because the Holy Spirit was at work in his heart and changing him. Now the thing is this, that we're all different. We're all different, every one of us. To the sensitive, God gives strength and courage. To the extrovert and those intolerant of supposed weakness, God gives love and gentleness. And that's what he was beginning to do to Paul, or Saul as he was still at this time. So in many respects, what I'm trying to say is that we'll all handle this pandemic differently. But we all need each other. And this is the important thing. You see, Paul was a leader. He was focused. He was single-minded. He was impatient. He founded the church after church in city after city. And God used him to write nearly half the New Testament. Listen to what Paul wrote in 2 Colossians 11 about his life when he was on the road for the Lord. He said, I have been in prison, been flogged, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night in the day and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, endangered from bandits, endangered from my own countrymen, in danger in the country, in danger at sea. I've labored and toiled and had often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. I don't think I'd have begun with those sort of experiences, but he did. And he was the leader that the church looked to. And I want to think about Paul's attitude to his circumstances. Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians that if you read it, it gives a similar sort of description of what he went through in his life. And we had some of it read this morning to us. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. He's in prison. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. When you get a guy like that, it does one or two things. It says to us, I need to be like that. I'm going to be like that. I'm going to persevere in my faith. I'm going to be brave for Christ. I'm going to be a witness for Christ, no matter what happens. Some of us will be like that. Others of us will say, I hope that doesn't happen to me. I'll not get off the ground. And it terrifies us, the very thought. And really, this is the experience that many are having today in this world in which we live. Paul was in that reading, was under military guard, under military custody, chained to a soldier. What do you think he would have posted on his first century Facebook page? He was thinking about all the good that was resulting from what was happening to him. He was definitely a half-full person rather than a half-empty one. Good for the palace guard, which would have numbered thousands, because they would know that he was imprisoned for Christ. Seeing Paul would challenge Christians who weren't in prison to be bold and outspoken about their own faith, hopefully. So there's no doubt that Paul was a special guy. You don't find him moaning about his situation of how heavy his chains were, or whether he was cold and hungry or mistreated. He didn't write any illicit, or he didn't write about illicit sympathy that he wanted. He wanted people to see that what was happening to him was for the good of the kingdom of God. He didn't ask, why is this happening to me? Why aren't things going the way I want them to? And the challenge to us, of course, is coping with the pandemic that we're experiencing. We're not saying, many of us, are we? How can God use me in and through what I'm going through? Some of us will, but others of us won't. Paul chose to turn the situation outward rather than inward. He didn't want to be in jail any more than anybody else. And I don't think he'd have wanted to be within the context of the pandemic that we're in. It seems that Paul was actually fired up about what was happening as a result of his chains. Unique opportunities were coming his way because he was in prison, advancing the cause of Christ. And that's why he is so challenging. And perhaps for most of us, this pandemic has been about pain and sadness and loneliness and perhaps self-pity and self-preoccupation and self-concern. And so you can see that Paul was indeed a special guy, an outstanding leader, an example for us. And Paul used his situation to impact his jailers, to impact those in Philippi who received his letter, to impact people down history. And God and Paul are still using that letter to speak to hearts, our hearts today. And perhaps for most of us, we are still feeling some chains right now, even though the vaccine things are have made things a lot easier. Imagine how they're feeling in India. Now, during this pandemic, we've all lost something. It might have been personal freedom. Our lifestyles have been impacted. Not able to see our children or our grandchildren. Not able to visit a sick relative. Some have lost their jobs. Some have lost their income. Many have lost a mother or a father or a child. Many people have changed before, had changed before the pandemic. They might have had a terminal illness or a parent or a husband or wife with Alzheimer's. And your chains are real. And mine are real. And we need God's help to turn outward and not inward. And for many of us, our circumstances and personal and personalities make things very difficult for us. And I want to say again, we are all different. And at this stage in his life, Paul had changed a great deal. But he was still the same guy. The Holy Spirit had changed him, was still changing him. And as Christians, God, by his Holy Spirit, can change us too. We may be a half-empty person, but by his Holy Spirit and the help of his church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can learn to fill up our half-empty glass, I believe. We are all a work in progress. Paul mellowed, Paul changed for the better. And no matter what our chains are, we too can change for the better. Some of us are lonely, some of us are depressed. Other of us can't understand people like that. No matter how real our chains are, and they are very real, and they were real for Paul, our choice to turn inward or outward is just as real. And as I've indicated, when Paul first became a Christian, he was a firebrand, intolerant of weakness, unable to understand sensitive people, fearful people. But he was powerful for Christ and in Christ. And we need to be like that. We need to be, as much as we possibly can, a visionary, focused like he was, and appear fearless, get things done. But we are all different. I'll never be like Paul, you may think, or even say. And of course, you're right. John Mark would never have been like Paul. But both men changed. So let me conclude. As I prepared this sermon, I wanted to address those of us who are like Narcissus. Because I think I'm a bit like that. Self-absorbed, often sensitive, fearful, lonely. I wanted to make sure that being challenged to be like Paul was not going to be counterproductive to you. I don't want to feel you leaving this church feeling pushed deeper into the mire. I didn't want those like Paul to regard those like John Mark as weak and ineffective. I didn't want those like John Mark to feel weak and soft and useless and pathetic with no backbone because they weren't like Paul. And Paul at that time expected John Mark to be like him. I want every Christian here, every member of the body of Christ to be challenged, yes. The John Marks to be encouraged to be challenged, to know that they are a blessing to others. The Pauls to understand the gentle and the fearful and the sensitive and the empathetic personalities of others. You know, a number of years ago I read a book by Mike Brayley. Anybody know who Mike Brayley was? The cricketers do. He was captain of England. And Mike Brayley, a number of years ago now, the thing about Mike Brayley was intellectually he was very high powered. I think he was an Oxbridge graduate and he was a psychoanalyst. He wasn't a very good cricketer, but he was a good captain. and he was captain of England, and he wrote a book about how he motivated his players. And there was a player who just died called Bob Willis, who was a fast bowler. And Bob Willis was a good bowler, but he needed to be fired up. And if the wicket was easy and the batsmen were getting a lot of runs, he'd just go through the motions. He'd start at his run and he'd run in and he'd bowl and hope that something had happened, but weren't really bothered with it, did he? It didn't. And Bob really decided the only way to motivate him, and excuse my, if there are any feminists here, I'm very sorry, but he used to go and say, Willis, you're bowling like a big girl. He says, I'm very sorry, but you are. He says, you're absolutely rubbish. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And Willis used to get really angry. And he used to go back to his mark and he used to hair in. And he'd been motivated. The batsman knew. And there are people like Bob Willis, but he said there were other people that he knew that the only way to motivate them in his team was to go to them quietly and put his arm around them when nobody was looking and saying, come on, lad, you're better than this. You can really do well. And that was what was needed. Now, we are all different. And he knows. We're all different, just like a body with different members and different functions, interdependent, needing each other, related and linked. And as we continue to face this pandemic, whatever it brings in the future, together, we need to understand one another, to pray for one another, and to love one another in Christ, so that we can be the best that God wants us to be for him. Amen.